Conscious Curiosity SD, where successful San Diego leaders share their stories of leading beyond profit and are using the influence of business to positively change the companies and communities we all work and live in. I'm your host, Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership, a proven and powerful process for unlocking the full potential of the people and teams across your organization, giving you the competitive advantage in the marketplace. We want to thank our collaborative community of business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Business for Good, Cause San Diego, and Be Local. We're all focused on impacting our community of San Diego through the work they do as business leaders. Welcome to the show. In today's digital world, your online presence speaks volumes about your company. First, can you be found? Second, what impression do potential customers have when they find you? If these questions matter to you, then you need to hear from our guest today. Bryn Gibbs, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Bryn is the founder and CEO of Consumer Fusion, an AI-powered reputation management, local listing, and social media platform trusted by over 10,000 businesses, including some of the country's most well-known brands. They enable businesses to monitor their online presence, enhance customer service, and improve visibility to attract new customers. And as a leader, Bryn is setting the world on fire. Twice, Consumer Fusion has been featured on the Inc. 5000 list of fastest growing companies. And at a personal level, Bryn has been honored as one of the top 50 women of influence in technology, LA Times Women of Influence, and Leaders of Influence in Marketing and PR. And most recently, made the San Diego Business Journal's the top 40 next top business leader under 40 list. Wow. Pretty busy, huh?
Sure am. But I'm having fun along the way, which is the important part.
There you go. That's the goal, right? We're just having a good time over here. Well, I'm looking forward to exploring all this because you are doing something pretty unique and I think very informative for our crew of listeners. I do know that this didn't just happen. There's kind of an interesting backstory. If you're willing to share, love to have the guest hear about that.
Yeah, no, I love letting people know how I got started in this space. So for the longest time, I wasn't comfortable talking about it because it stemmed from a dark time in my life when I was in high school. I was a victim of cyberbullying. And I was going through a situation where things were posted about me personally online, and I was too ashamed and embarrassed to go to my parents or to teachers for help, but I couldn't let the things that were being said about me remain, you know, publicly posted online. So I taught myself a very valuable tool in figuring out how to dispute content for possible removal. So I was able to successfully remove content that was posted online about me. And again, this is back in high school. So this was not to date myself, but 2002, 2003.
And the early days of bullying online.
Exactly. I mean, think AOL profile, MySpace was just launching. Or had this been in current day where there's TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, like I can't imagine what parents are going through these days with, you know, their children being cyberbullied because there's so many different platforms and things can go immediate and viral so quickly. But by teaching myself how to dispute and remove inappropriate content, Consumer Fusion was born. I didn't do anything with that self-taught skill for 10 years. But my husband's stepdad is now a retired dentist. And he was getting ready to retire, but his office manager had hired a new employee. And within 30 days, they realized she was not a good fit for the position. She had some personal issues that were like rolling into their office, and the office manager had to terminate her. This was right when Google reviews and Yelp reviews were new to the scene. It was called Google Places back then. Businesses were not even claiming ownership of their Google Place pages. It was brand new.
Anybody could say anything.
Exactly.
Wild, Wild West.
And he and his team were not actively monitoring their reviews. Several months went by. New patient drop-off was down slightly, but someone brought it to his attention, and he was dumbfounded. He walked in for dinner that night and asked my husband, Mark, who works with me as well, if we'd ever heard of Google or Yelp reviews. And I told him that I had, and he showed us what happened, and I offered to help him try to clean it up. And I was able to successfully remove all of those reviews. He was in a Rotary group at the time, and there was a local attorney who was being bashed by a competitor via fake reviews. And then that attorney connected me with a plastic surgeon in Los Angeles who was dealing with a ex-wife who was bashing him online. So it was word of mouth referral in the beginning, and it kind of just snowballed from there. And I mean, flash forward 13 years later, now we are partnering with some of the most known brands in the country. And it all stemmed from a really dark place in my life, but it feels so good to know that, hey, I didn't let it, you know, crumble me instead.
We got you now.
I know. I love it. So
that's an awesome story.
Thanks.
So often, right, some negative in our lives turns out to be, once we weather the storm, to find out, wow, that was a game changer for us.
100%. I wouldn't change my past for anything because it got me to where I am today. But I do wish I could go back in time and tell myself it's going to be okay.
Yeah, that's note to file, right? When you're in the middle of that big storm,
yes.
It's hard to actually see that.
Exactly.
So tell us a little bit about the business. It's kind of unique what you're doing.
Yeah, so Consumer Fusion. I've been in reputation management since 2009, but I started Consumer Fusion in 2013. And our specialty niche is reputation management. So we help businesses get found online through reviews. We like to say, like, let your reputation drive revenue. Google looks at not just your Google reviews, but third-party sites that also host reviews like Yelp or TripAdvisor, Facebook. They look at a business's reviews, and outside of their website, reviews are the next source that Google looks at when it comes to getting organic content for businesses. So I'm always preaching to businesses, double down on your reviews, because when Google sends out spiders to do their web crawls, they're looking for new content on the business because they want to give Google users accurate, up-to-date information. So they're not going to crawl old reviews when they're doing their next web crawl. They're looking for new content. So consistency, always constantly trying to generate new reviews, is crucial if you want to improve and help your potential customers find you online.
Oh, that's an interesting tip right there.
Yeah.
I'm guilty of, like, okay, let's make a website. I'll find five people to give me a review, and we'll stick those up there. And 10 years later, you still got the same reviews up
websites
there.
Are, again, still very important. I'm not discrediting that by any means, but reviews is another avenue that business owners can take advantage of to help their online presence.
Love it. Love it. Any thoughts? So that's one way of getting more notice. Is there some other tips you have in regards to, like, I'm trying to have a more social presence out there, the things that we can be doing or should be thinking about?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to add to the reputation management side of things as well, because there are more things that you can do instead of just generating more reviews. As a business owner, you need to promptly respond to your reviews. And a little trick to help feed Google the information that you can control about your business is to incorporate your business categories or keywords. So if you are a dermatologist, you can say things like, we pride ourselves on being the best dermatology office in Point Loma, California. Include your location when you're responding to these reviews, because it is giving Google the information that you want that you can control in those responses.
Tell them what you want people to hear.
Yep. And then for those of you who are managing multiple locations, it's so important to monitor what is being said system-wide. So having roll-up reporting and getting alerts on sentiment, both negative and positive, so you can just keep a close pulse on what the public is saying about their experience with your business.
I was going to say, so is there a way to protect yourself up front, or is it really kind of a post, let's watch what's happening and then respond? Is there a way of kind of defending ourselves?
So that is where the negative removal piece of our reputation management comes into play. And that is what separates us from alternatives in the space, because this area, part of it can be automated through software, powered by AI, of course. But a lot of it is manual. You can't control what someone's going to say about your business on TikTok or via a review. And you have to take the time to flag, report it, and often dispute it several times over and over again with support at whatever site it was posted to. So whether it was Facebook, Google, Yelp, all of those sites have their own support and their own community guidelines or terms of service. For the most part, they're similar and they overlap, but they do differentiate. So understanding what that specific site's terms are and then disputing the content based off of whatever is being said or whatever content you want to be removed. So actively monitoring, setting up alerts so that you get notified if something negative is said about you or your business.
Three stars out of five or something.
Exactly. Yes. And then you can also just set up Google alerts if anything is ever, you know, said about you or your business. You get alerted through Google for that. But pertaining to reviews specifically, you can get a text message if any review three stars or below is posted to any of the sites about your business. And time is of the essence, because there's this stat, and this is from Yelp. Yelp is a very trusted review site that partners with Bing, MapQuest, Apple Maps, Yahoo Local. So your Yelp rating impacts your business in more than just Yelp. So I always tell people, like, just because you may not advertise with Yelp or you don't think Yelp is, you know, important in your area, your industry, your Yelp rating and reviews crawl over to so many other sources that consumers trust.
So all this stuff's very interconnected. You can't just look at, well, here's this site. I'm going to work this site, or I'm going to go work this.
You have to monitor it all and stay on top of it all.
So it sounds very labor intensive. That's when you guys show up, right?
It is. And that's what separates Consumer Fusion from alternatives in the space is everyone that, you know, we may run up against, they're just software. They don't have that white glove support. The people who will actually take the extra steps, because it is labor intensive, it is time consuming. Our record at working with Google to get an illegitimate review that absolutely violated guidelines, it needed to come down. It took 27 dispute attempts and 9 months. It doesn't always take that long, but that is just our record of how much back and forth our team had with Google support. And we're Google partners, so it's like we have a direct line to them.
So if it's you're just an average consumer trying to get their attention, it's probably not too easy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Wow. You have to be persistent.
Is there anything that you'd say, don't ever do this when it comes to kind of your social media?
Don't ever do this. Well, a lot of businesses fall victim to unscrupulous fly-by-night companies that are like, we can help you rank on the first page of Google. We're going to flood your business with positive reviews. You can't buy fake positive reviews. Google will pick up on it. They have a way of tracking the IP addresses. And what Google will do is they will suppress your business to where...
the opposite effect.
Exactly. And it happens. I mean, not everyone's going to get busted if they do it. But also, a lot of times, businesses are not aware that what they're doing is wrong. So you want your reviews to be from your customers, real authentic Gmail, Google accounts when they're leaving the reviews.
That's great, because often I think people like, oh, you know, I hired this person. They're going to help me. They got this great track record, whatever they share. And next thing you know, you've got the complete opposite of what you're hoping for.
Exactly. And again, so many times they're innocent and they don't realize what they did violates Google's guidelines. But yeah, stay away from buying positive reviews.
So without giving away any great IP here, I know you went down this whole adventure of exploring AI when that started to come around. And that's kind of one of the major tools you use. So maybe give us a little insight. You know, what's that journey been look like? What advice do you have in regards to AI and what's going on in the world? Because that's such a hot ticket these days.
It sure is. And my biggest piece of advice around AI is not to be scared of it. Find a way to embrace it and incorporate it into your business. So with Consumer Fusion, any way and every way possible that I can utilize AI in our platform, we're doing it. We have our own proprietary tool that scores any negative reviews 3 stars or below that will qualify for possible removal across the different review sites. That's how we can scale and work with some of these brands that have hundreds, even thousands of locations.
So all the data goes in and it does all the filtering for you.
Yep. So then my team doesn't manually have to sift through thousands of reviews. What is a candidate for removal is automatically pulled for them. We do something called smart review responses that allows the owner's response to be automated. A owner can go back and edit their response if they'd like, but these smart review responses that are powered by AI can pick out the themes, the keywords used within the review so that it's an appropriate response. If it's a negative review that we're responding to, it will populate with dynamic fields that include how to get in touch with someone at the business so that they can, you know, hopefully rectify and address their situation. So we're using AI there. We do something called review listening, which if you're familiar with NPS, Net Promoter Score, are you familiar with that?
I'm not.
So it's like NPS for reviews. It just keeps pulse of what reviewers across all the different channels are saying about your business, and it rolls it up for you.
So you get a report of sorts?
Exactly. And you can see most common themes. You can see like the promoters, the detractors, the negative things people are saying. That way you have at a bird's eye view the common themes for why someone didn't have a good experience or why they had a good experience. So those are just a few examples of how we're incorporating AI, but it's intimidating, especially if you're not doing anything with it now. So I was at this conference a few weeks ago where the keynote speaker challenged everyone in the room, take baby steps. Even if it's just 5% of your operations now, set a goal for yourself that by this time next year, 5% will be powered by AI.
I love it.
Yeah.
I heard that same advice. It was like, just get in the game, use it in some fashion, right?
Yes.
I know I'm trying all my marketing, whatever. I'm writing something now, man. I put it in there and I go, make this sound way better, make it more compelling, whatever. And it's kind of amazing.
It really is.
What it does. Yeah. Makes me look like a genius. How did you do that? Did you call AI, you are us kind of thing? Or did you have to go figure this out yourself? Or How did you go develop this whole thing?
So my product team figured it out themselves. We have a team here domestically, but then we have 8 developers on our team. They're based out of Belarus. And so an array of different AI tools, but for the most part, it's ChatGPT that we're utilizing.
Okay.
And if you haven't played around with ChatGPT yet, please do it because—
That's my go-to.
It's amazing. Like, how did we function without this tool before?
You know, it's kind of weird, right? Well, part of what I heard was like just getting the game, start playing with it. In reality, mm-hmm. things are going to evolve very quickly and it becomes sort of very intuitive and easier as we move forward. You know, we'll have something plugged in our head or whatever, whatever it's going to look like, but yeah. at least get in the game, start to understand what it is. So
yes,
it's
exactly.
Good. It's really good stuff.
And that's why so many people are worried about like AI replacing their jobs. And I'm hearing time and time again, like you won't be replaced by AI, but you will be replaced by someone using AI.
Yeah, it's the exact same thing I heard.
Yeah.
yeah. So stay up to speed, right?
Yes.
Let's talk about leadership a little bit here, right?
I'd love to.
You're the founder. You built up this business. What do you have, 30 some employees these days?
33.
Running an international business or domestically?
Yeah. International
business.
We're in UK, Canada. So,
which is pretty amazing. So talk a little bit about how did that all come to be? What's your philosophy? I love your philosophy.
Yes. Well, so it stems from Richard Branson quote, but it is that your clients don't come first, your employees come first. You take care of your employees, then they will in fact take care of your clients. I live, eat, and breathe by that quote, and I have for years. But I've tweaked it a little bit. I don't refer to anyone on my team as employees. I don't say that someone works for me. Instead, I say they work with me. I'm very collaborative and open when it comes to how I run the company. And I lean on my team just as much as they lean on me. And in every company-wide meeting, I thank everyone for continuing to choose to be a part of the Consumer Fusion team because they have options. They're choosing to spend their one life working with Consumer Fusion and with me. So it's the biggest compliment when they continue to choose to do so.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
What do you do to foster that?
A lot. I have worked with 2 different business coaches the last 4 to 5 years, and I have recently incorporated EOS, Entrepreneurial Operating System. But I've taken my favorites of both business coaches and EOS and kind of made
my
own.
There you go. That's how you're supposed to do it, right?
Yeah.
You're an integrator.
Yeah. But a lot of it just stems down to genuinely caring. Like you have to win your people's hearts. And just little things like knowing their why. For example, I know my director of client services. She and her husband, Edson, want to buy a house. That's their goal for this year. But like, I know her husband. I know their family values. I know their goals. And I do that because I care. But it also helps me push her to accomplish the
right.
business goals.
You're connecting the business goal to the personal goal.
Exactly. Yeah. Another thing is we went virtual during the pandemic. And that was a shift. We were in office every day. And we lost that one-on-one time that we were so used to having for 9+ years prior. And that's how long the majority of my team members have been with me. Like I'm celebrating 10, 11 year anniversaries, which feels so good. But just making sure that our culture stays intact. It's something that I put a lot of focus and emphasis on. I have a vibe committee that we actually just recently rolled out to where our company-wide virtual meetings aren't all just business. I want to work a little bit of fun and play into those as well. So the Vibe Committee keeps coming up with fun ways that we can either have contests or, you know, just keep a personal relationship to the business relationship.
Right. Saw a report just the other day that spoke to the impact of the hybrid work environment we have today on culture. That was kind of like the number one concern of business leaders was, how do I maintain my culture?
And yeah.
It's just really difficult when you don't see people in the hallway or chit-chatting over coffee or whatever, right?
So
you're just
true.
Plugging
We're
in.
Like, hey, let's go for a quick walk around the block at lunch, or do you want to go grab coffee
right.
together? You lose that. And I mean, I attribute so much of Consumer Fusion's success to my team and the impact they have on our clients. So, I mean, an example, well, one big thing is when you're having virtual calls, I require everyone to have their camera on.
Yes.
If you
I don't care if you're having a bad hair day. Come on.
Exactly. But also the power of eye contact. I can look into someone's eyes and I can tell if they're happy. I can tell if they're upset. I can tell if they're sad. I pay so much attention to people when I'm communicating with them, both personally and professionally, by their eyes. And so I want to be able to see them because last week I had a call with just my account managers. So there were 8 of us on the team. And there was one team member who's the newest team member to the team who I've never had the privilege of working in office with. Mm. She's up in, I don't want to like call anybody out, but she's not in San Diego County. And I just, her eyes were making me a little uneasy. I was like, something is wrong. So I emailed her and I said, hey, nothing urgent, but I would love to get time with you next week. no pressing matters. I just want to get to know you better and hear feedback about your position, how we can help, you know, you service our clients better and any tools that you need to be better at your job. So I proactively, I'm not saying it's uncomfortable, but I'm proactively having this conversation because we all know it's expensive to replace your team turnover. And, you know, a client likes their dedicated account manager. And if you're continuously having a rotation of account managers servicing their account, you know, that's not the best feeling from the client's perspective.
Right. You're going to get a bad mark on Yelp or whatever.
Yeah. So the second I suspect that someone on the team is
getting a little sideways,
yeah, then I just proactively reach out, have a difficult conversation if need be, and just figure out a way to make it work.
Yeah, I got involved with a company called Exchange. I'm a facilitator. That's what I do, right? Mm-hmm. And they made a big shift during COVID. They were putting on big in-person events prior to that, and they went 100% online.
Yeah.
So they put a lot of effort into, like, how do we use these tools in a much more powerful way with breakout rooms and all these kinds of things, music, all this good stuff that just makes a big difference, right, mm-hmm. engaging people online. So super hard to do, not easy. How do you hire?
So through EOS, one of their tools is the People Analyzer. And EOS is also big on identifying your company's core values and hiring and firing based off of your core values. So when you first implement EOS, they have you do the People Analyzer on your entire team. And you pretty much, you and your leadership team will score the team members based off of your core values. Do they get it? Do they want it? Do they have the capacity to do it? And it's all about putting the right people in the right seats doing what they love. And so the first several months are kind of getting organized when it comes to implementing EOS. But then once you kind of get that cookie cutter system in place, when you hire off of your core values and then that People Analyzer tool. Mm-hmm. So one other little trick that our COO taught me when we were hiring for a recent role within the last 6 months, she was like, you know what? Yes, like the leadership team has final say, but let's let the team interview this candidate because they are going to be working alongside right. one another. They are the client services team. So it's a team goal every month for them to hit their bonus goals. She's like, that way they feel like they're included, involved, and their voice matters. And every single account manager that I had on that interview, they did end up hiring that candidate that we were rooting for, but they all said how much they appreciated that.
Yeah.
So again, I'm going to continue to do that moving forward.
That's part of the team.
Yeah.
Do they interview one-on-one or do they interview as a group?
So they did that as a group.
Yeah. There's a real power in doing things in a group mm-hmm. in my experience in doing interviewing. Because you and I do an interview
yeah.
and I see something or whatever, or I'm also very busy worrying about me asking the right question, all this. So, you know, it's not as powerful as can be if you're like got another person there. I mean, it puts the pressure on the person being interviewed, but so yeah. what? That's why you're there.
Yeah.
And that way, when you come back to have a little download with the group, it's like, yeah, we all saw that. It wasn't like, well, I didn't see that, Jeff. Well, I didn't ask that question, so I don't know, right?
Yep.
So actually, I think the group environment, there's some real power in that. I love that. You also have kind of an interesting thing. Your husband works in the business. I always yes. think that's interesting how that works. I always try to envision my wife and I in the same business. But you also have some other couples as well, right?
Yeah, we do.
So talk about that a little bit, because that's an interesting.
Yeah.
I would be scared, to be honest with you.
It's so funny. I hear that time and time again about people saying, oh, I could never work with my spouse. And 99% of the time, it's great. But absolutely, there are times where I'm just like, oh, I'm biting my lip, but you're going to get it when we get home tonight. But no, for the most part, we work so well together. And I think a lot of it has to do with we share the same vision and the same goals. And that's also a big part of my leadership is communicating to my team, like, what is Consumer Fusion's why? What are our goals? And just making sure that everyone understands that. Because a few years ago, I read this journal that was talking about employee satisfaction. And it does not always come down to compensation. A lot of employees find so much value and importance in just being in the loop and in the know of what's going on. So just overly communicating with your mm-hmm. team. So I over communicate with my husband and vice versa, almost to a fault. I made the joke of, you know what, we go on weekly date nights. And I said, we should probably write this off because 90% of what we talk about is work. So this is technically a work dinner, but it's just.
I think that's part of the challenge, right? Is what, how did you
ever
shut that
off?
It's
both of our passion.
Yeah.
We both get so excited. We thrive off of it and his strengths are my weakness and vice versa. And yeah, we're just at the end of the day, we're having a lot of fun too. Like we get to go to some of these conferences and client shows in some really cool cities. And we're working with really just respected brands and hearing them say that they value and trust Consumer Fusion as their partner. Just, it means the world to me. So it's great working with my spouse, but I get why it's not for everybody.
So, but you've gone as far as to hire other couples in the organization.
So we did not hire them simultaneously.
And they all fell in love at the company?
So. Yeah. So I'll start with Bridget. She's our head of product. She has been with us since day one. She's so intelligent. She's so smart. And about just under a year and a half ago, she came to us saying that she thinks her husband would be a great fit to be on her team. And I was a little nervous at first because I didn't want that to go poorly and then risk Bridget not being in a
right,
good place.
Right, that's a concern.
But I told
you
her,
get a twofer, things going
exactly. But yeah. I told her, like, I trust your judgment. And if this is who you want on your team, then I fully support that. And he's kicking butt. Like, I'm so happy to have him on the team. But then Cecile, who's been with us, gosh, she's celebrated over 11 years with us. Her team is growing and they are so locked in at what they do. Like, we are getting referrals by these large brands daily because her and her team are so shored up with their process. And she's like, hey, I need some help, but I need someone like that I can trust and train up quickly. Mm-hmm. She's like, my husband is, you know, looking and I would really love to have him on the team. I'm like, done. So
worked last time. What the heck?
So we have a total of 5 married couples on the team. It all started with one spouse first. And then, you know, like, again, it's a compliment to us in Consumer Fusion, like someone being interested and wanting to bring their spouse into, you know, our organization is just a huge compliment. And we've had team members bring friends or cousins in. So we're definitely a very, very tight crew.
That is really cool.
Yeah, it is cool. We're having our first Consumer Fusion baby next month.
Oh, here we go.
I know. They're having a little girl. And yeah, so we hired Logan first and then she brought her husband on a few short months later. So
speaking of that, you're a mom.
I sure
am.
3
kids. How are you pulling that off, Bryn?
A lot of coffee. No, but one
the
thing.
Besides chauffeur business that you have that you're
yes.
running.
Yeah. And then when my nanny calls in the morning saying she's sick on
that
our
was
podcast
today, right?
Yeah. That was today.
Bryn blew me off for lunch today.
I know.
She's got
we'll
to,
reschedule.
Right? Got to go
check,
chauffeur
please.
Some people around.
But no, several ways that I make this happen because I travel a lot for work as well. So whenever I am able to help anyone in my social circle, other moms at my school, when I'm in town and I have the time, I'm offering and more than willing, let me help you. How can I help you? Because I have been stuck at airports with delayed flights. Like, I'm not going to be home in time to pick them up from soccer. Can you grab them for me? Like, I lean on the people in
so
my
you're
village.
Banking some goodwill.
Exactly.
I love that.
But yeah, a lot of it. So this new kind of way of life that I'm trying to live by is a Sunday well spent brings a week of content.
Mm.
Yesterday, I was tempted to go to the horse races in Del Mar. That would have consisted of some daytime cocktails, and I would not have gotten done everything that I had gotten done had I said yes to that invitation. Instead, I listened to one of your podcasts to kind of prepare myself for what I was in store for today. I exercised where I was listening to my audiobook that my business coach has me reading. I meal prepped. I did laundry. I spent quality time with my kids, watched my son's soccer game. And I just had a very productive Sunday to where this morning when my nanny said, hey, I'm sick, I can't make it in, I would have been scrambling and right. It would have been a firestorm of a morning. But instead, because I had, you know, responsibly chosen to enjoy my Sunday, but have a productive Sunday, my whole week, I'm so organized and it feels great going into a week feeling that way. And I always say, when you're a leader, you have to take care of yourself first because you can't take care of other people if you're not taking care of yourself. So
yes.
Physical exercise, I exercise every day, which I realize some people say you need a break, you know, break days. But that's how I get rid of my stress. So that's through exercise. But just I'm continuously making sure that I take care of myself so that I can take care of other people.
I'm looking at my phone because I'm a big fan of what you just said. I mean, leaders need to take care of themselves mm-hmm. first. And I'm involved in a thing called conscious leadership. And the big thing there is breathing.
Yeah.
And I was involved with something else where I got introduced to an app called Othership.
Othership. I'm writing it down.
Othership. It's just a whole ton of these breathing exercises. I mean, I'm up in the morning doing breathing, dancing around and stuff. Then I do an attention one. It's just really powerful. And we're always breathing. So at any point in time, you can like clue into your breath and just kind of change the whole dynamic, what's going on.
Absolutely.
So it's been really powerful.
Well, and that aligns with meditation, I feel like, too, which I think is such a powerful tool that's underutilized.
I've been a meditator since I was 18.
I love it.
But that's sort of like, okay, I have to go meditate.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just, I'm breathing, right?
Breathing.
Let me just be intentional about my breathing for the next moment here, and I can change the game. So, yeah, it's a great app.
Okay, thank you.
Checking that out. I want to take a step back here. Part of this whole podcast is about purposeful leadership, conscious capitalism, and things like that, mm-hmm. where we talk about the higher purpose or the why of the company.
Yeah.
You mentioned your why, mm-hmm. and then kind of the why of the people. You know, how do you connect those dots? So what is your why for the business?
You know, I love helping other businesses. It fills my cup. My husband and I were on a call last week where it was a prospective client, not an active Consumer Fusion client. But when she ended the call, she's like, yeah, you know, like Consumer Fusion is crushing it in the franchise space. Everyone is saying to work with you guys. And they've shared their success stories with her, which is why she reached out to us for a meeting. And when we got off that call, my husband was like, you were grinning ear to ear. You were so happy when you heard that. And it's really just, I love what we're doing. And we are so impactful. And we help businesses thrive at the local level to where we have an insane retention rate. We have over 95% client retention. And that's because our service is important, it works, but then we look at our clients as partners, an extension of their team. And a lot of alternatives in my space, they're PE-backed. They are just focused on the bottom dollar. Their employee churn, every conference that we're at, there's new people in their booth, whereas with Consumer Fusion, you get the same faces. And it makes
a difference. We have families working here, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a whole different dynamic.
So, yeah, I mean, really, that's my why. I love what we do. I love helping people, including my team.
So you're extending kind of this philosophy that you have inside your building and really trying to say, you guys, if you're a client of mine, you're part of the family as well.
Exactly. And I mean, to be honest, there is a tad bit of ego when wanting Consumer Fusion's platform to be like number one in the space. And I'm very open to my team's feedback. I meet with them biweekly. What feedback are you getting from our partners? Like, what do they want? Like, what's in their desired situation? What would make our partnership stronger or make our tools and our platform better? And I do anonymous surveying to my team in case they don't feel comfortable opening up directly with me. That's something I highly recommend. Mm. And then also,
most people don't want to know about that.
I know. Sometimes you hear things that make you just, oh, you want to defend yourself, but you don't know who to do it to.
I got a story for you on that one.
Oh, tell me.
So I had a boss. I'm a bad employee. That's why I had to start my own business. I never had a boss I really liked. So I had this boss that put out like a little 360 survey to his staff, right? Mm-hmm. And I probably spent 3 hours filling this thing out, right? Because
you had a lot to say.
Yeah. And I figured he knew I probably did it because I hadn't been that shy about saying things. Anyways, handing out, it was probably like a month and a half later. I'm sitting in his office, we're having some conversation. I said something that triggered. He goes, "You're the one who wrote that." And I'm thinking, that's exactly what you're not supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. That's too funny.
See, I told you.
But you know what? They need to hear it. So it's important to get it out there.
Yeah. And then you got to do something with it. That's the hard part.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not always easy. You know, it's the old, you get 10 really wonderful things said about you. And it's that one that's like, I don't like the shoes you wear. So I'm like, what?
Same thing can be said with online reviews, that you can get 10 positive glowing five-star reviews, but then that two-star review came in and you can't sleep at night.
Right. You can't help but zero in on that.
Yeah.
So how did you get here? How were you developing Bryn? You've mentioned you had two coaches and you're buying tools or whatever, but how are you developing yourself? How did you get to this place? Because obviously you're doing some amazing work.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I put a lot of emphasis and focus on continuing to develop myself. When I'm exercising every day, like I said, I do, I'm listening to audiobooks or podcasts.
On one and a half?
Yes.
That's me.
But I genuinely care to just learn about other industries as well. And of course, like, I try to tie it back to Consumer Fusion and me personally, but I'm a sponge. I want to soak up as much as I can. And in the tech world, you could wake up tomorrow, Google could be doing something different. So I'm always on my toes. The biggest thing with my former business coach, though, was mindset. And there's a book called Mindset that really kind of made me evaluate my life and how I was thinking and value and importance of a positive mindset and a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. And even when I was a kid, I remember I'd go into restaurants or businesses and I would stand there and I would watch how they operate. I was fascinated by it. And I still do it to this day. I go in and I watch what they're doing well, and then I just can't help but notice, oh, that's interesting that they're, you know, choosing to do it that way. And I've just always been fascinated by that. So I'm a lifelong learner, and my current business coach is great at making sure I protect my time, because as a leader, it's easy to have a lot of people dependent on you and needing you and coming to you to solve problems. So it's really important to empower your team to make some decisions, so that you're not the one who has to solve every problem.
The art of delegation, huh?
Yes, delegate and elevate. That has been huge.
I like the part elevate, right? Can't just go here. Good luck. Let's see how you do with this.
Well, and that's the thing.
Elevate the person.
In the beginning of my career, I was a control freak, and I wasn't taking the time to teach my team how to do things that they were capable of doing.
That's the classic. Of course, yeah.
Yeah, and so then I remember reading in this article, it may have been Gary Vee. It was Gary Vee. You know that podcast? Mm-hmm. And he was saying, if your team can do it 70% of how you would prefer it to be done, you can always step back in if there's a fire. I was like, you know what?
He's so right.
Yeah. And my team actually does so many things better than I had been doing them prior before too. So it's trusting your team, delegating and elevating. But one thing that I would say has been most impactful for me, both in business and in leadership, was something that my last business coach taught me, which is social styles, understanding people's social styles. Have you ever been exposed to that?
Yes, I have. But share a little bit for people who haven't.
And again, there's different types of social styles, but the ones that I was exposed to. So you have drivers, amiables, analytics, and expressives. And we all grow up with this saying, treat people how you want to be treated, which at the end of the day, yes, that's, you know, true. But when you understand social styles, you realize that you need to treat people how they want to be treated.
Right, right. Not about you.
Exactly.
Amazingly enough.
So I have unintentionally surrounded myself with my leadership team. They're all analyticals because I'm an expressive. And so on the graph of social styles, we're polar opposites. Their strengths are my weaknesses. I need them. And I had been treating them how expressives want to be treated, which is very different. Expressives are fly by the seat of your pants. Let's go grab lunch and figure out this new process. It's collaborative. Where analyticals are data driven. They want time. They want at least 24 hours notice. They want to know what you want to meet about. They want to know why. And you need to give them that kind of like runway before that meeting instead of just springing it on them. So for years, I was unintentionally treating them how I wanted to be treated, mm-hmm. but not taking the time to understand their social style and how they want to be treated. But this is not just in the business world. I have analyzed my children, my family, my parents, and friends. So I know their social styles, and then I treat them how they want to be treated. It has been the most eye-opening tool, and I'm addicted to it. Something I tell everyone about who's willing to listen. So yeah, understanding your team's social styles, it will make all the difference in how you treat them, how they want to be treated.
Awesome. What a great tip.
Thanks.
Great, great tip. It kind of takes me back to your hiring with the values and stuff. And I came across this thing one time I thought was sort of interesting because often we'll say, well, what are our values? It's just, well, it's integrity, let's say, or courage or something. We pick something like that. Yeah. And we say, well, okay, let's ask questions and see if we get that. So you check, check, check. They have all these four or five things that are our values. But then you go back to like, what's the culture of the business? Let's say maybe you're a very fast paced, you know, kind of like you just described. Someone that comes in that's completely opposite of that will have a difficult time adjusting. If that's the overall culture of the business, you know, oh, I need lots of time to think and calculate. They just won't fit in. You're always head bumping.
Yeah.
I think that's what leads to failure more often than some of the core values that we have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I hate to say it, but wow.
That went by fast. I feel like we just started.
Yeah, it does feel like that. I always like to end with, what's the big idea? If I didn't remember anything from this podcast, what's the one thing I should remember,
Brynn? I think it's what we just touched on, is just treat people how they want to be treated.
That's a good, good policy right there. Life will become way a lot easier, but puts a little pressure on you to actually figure that out, right?
Exactly. But it's worth it.
Well, Brynn, I appreciate you coming to the studio and all the work you're doing. It's amazing, phenomenal. Just keep up that good work and have some fun doing it, right?
Yep. That's what matters. Have fun while you're doing it. Well, thank you for having me.
Well, that's our show for today. And if you enjoyed it, please subscribe, comment, and most importantly, share the podcast with a friend. Again, special thanks to our collaborative community of San Diego business organizations, the Better Business Bureau, Conscious Capitalism, Be Local, Business for Good, and Cause San Diego, who are all using the influence of business to positively impact our very own community of San Diego. I'm Jeff Blanton from Jailbreak Leadership saying, till next time, go do what you do. Go do what you do best, for we're all counting on you.